Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to two portions of Scripture. Matthew chapter 19, where we will have our lesson, but our introduction will come from 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we'll read from 1 Timothy in just a moment. Would you please stand as we read from 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come and to be here on this Sunday morning. May those that are here be blessed and encouraged, and leave saying it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Is money evil? Money's not evil. But flee the love of money. Follow after righteousness. And fight the good fight of faith. The man we will talk about today did none of these things. If you would now, the book of Matthew chapter 19. Do you still have Matthew chapter 19? Matthew chapter 19, we'll begin reading at verse 16. We touched it briefly last week as we launched into our lesson last week. And verse 16 says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. In verse 16, we find the phrase, behold, one came. What we know about the one was that, number one, he was a man. He came. He was young. Now, I don't know what young is. I heard someone say the other day that 70 is the old 50. Wow. I hope in 4 years that I feel like I'm 50, because I certainly don't now. But he was young. He was a ruler. Some even thought maybe he was a ruler of a synagogue. It doesn't say that. It just simply says he was a ruler. But then it says, and some would say the best of all of it, he was rich. That he was rich. And may I say this, no matter how rich he was, you have more. You have more. You live in a land where you can go to any number of grocery stores and there is an abundance of food. You have electricity. Aren't you glad for electricity? You have a furnace. Now, the church has a furnace. It's a very large boiler system that's downstairs, and it's been here since 1965. Been here a long time. Some of you don't think we turned the furnace on today. You're cold. Some of you think you turned it up too warm. I can never please you. I'll be honest with you, it's warmer here than it is in my house. And yet for some of you, it's colder here than it is in your house. But are you richer than this man? Absolutely. Absolutely. He began by showing respect, saying, "Good master." And he asked a question. "What good thing shall I do that I may have or inherit eternal life?" I'm sure he was used to having what he wanted. And sometimes when you're used to having whatever you want, you get to the point where you don't think anything should be denied you. Warren Wiersbe writes concerning the question, quote, "He was obviously sincere, though his approach to salvation was centered on works and not faith. But this was to be expected among the Jews of that day. However, in spite of his position in society, his morality, and his religion, he felt a definite need for something more." Unquote. May I say this? We live in a society that is hungry for peace. They are hungry for satisfaction. And they're not getting it in today's world. May I say this? I don't care how many channels you have in your satellite or your cable television, it will not bring you peace. I don't care what type of gourmet kitchen utensils you have to make the finest of meals, it will not bring you peace. I don't care how much jewelry you have or what car you drive or the nice house that you may own, it's not going to bring you eternal peace. It only comes through Jesus Christ. And our society today is not walking away from the God of the Bible. It is running away from the God of the Bible. They want to tell us that that was for another age, another time, and we don't need it in 2020. Well, folks, we need it more in 2020 than ever before. We need the Word of God. We need it. Notice verse 17. "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt have... enter into life, keep the commandments." Jesus' response was a typical Jewish response, answering a question with a question. Why callest thou me good? We see that our Lord's reply did not focus on salvation. He forced the young man to think seriously about the word good that he had just used in addressing Jesus. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God, but one that is God. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. We have banners that say that. They're not up this week. But God is good all the time. Note, if Jesus is only one of many religious teachers in history, then his words carry no more weight than the pronouncement of any other religious leader. If Jesus indeed is good, then he is God. And we better heed what he says, for Jesus is God. He is part of the divine Trinity. Jesus said, "But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Question, why did Jesus bring up the commandments? Did he actually teach that people receive eternal life by obeying God's law? Well, if anyone could keep the commandments, he certainly would enter into life. But as we know, no one can keep God's law perfectly. Romans 3:20 says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." The law shows us that we are what? Sinners. You are all sinners, aren't you? Every one of us. Every one of us. Jesus did not introduce the law to show the young man how to be saved, but to show him that he needed to be saved. The law is a mirror that reveals what we are, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Let me read to you verses 18 and 19. He saith unto him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt not do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Verse 18 begins with another question. Which? Do you find it interesting? He doesn't say, "Oh, then all of them?" He says, "Which?" Wouldn't it be nice if all we had to do was keep one commandment? Let me ask you this. If you only need to say, keep one commandment, and it would get you into heaven, have you kept all the Ten Commandments? No. No, you haven't. Not one of them. Because we, through our lust and covetousness, have broken all of them. And the Bible tells us if you break one, you have broken all. So Jesus answers, "Thou shalt do no murder." Well, Exodus 20, verse 13 says, "Thou shalt not kill." Same idea. It says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Same as it is in Exodus 20, verse 14. God's plan, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. So he has a plan, one man, one woman. I read this the other day. How many Americans identify as homosexuals? How many Americans identify as homosexuals? 50%? Of course not. 40%? No again. 25%? Nope. 10%? Still wrong. 5%, getting closer. Less than 2% of the U.S. population self-identify as homosexuals, according to the most reliable estimates. Folks, we've been lied to. We've been brainwashed. The liberal media has led us astray. Michigan wants to pass a law that will actually give homosexuals more rights than you have. It's amazing, isn't it? But we have been lied to. Been lied to. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Again, is the same as the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. Thou shalt not bear false witness, the same as Exodus 20, verse 16. honor thy father and thy mother, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. But then it adds this thought, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Things had changed in the land of Israel between the time that they were given their properties per families and where they were right now under the rule of the Romans. But honor thy father and thy mother. And then he gives us one from the book of Leviticus. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, Leviticus 19, 18. But a quick look at these six thoughts reveals that Jesus did not mention the first four commandments. Nor did he mention the tenth commandment. Thou shalt not covet. You find that interesting that Jesus mentioned six things, but he doesn't mention the first four commandments, nor does he mention the one that really responds, or the one that is, should be directed at him. If we keep commandments number 1 and 10, most likely we'll keep the other 8. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Oh, folks, that's hard. Because most of us have a God that we put before the Lord Jehovah. Do you know what it is? You, self. It's hard to put God first, isn't it? It really is. And do we keep number 10, thou shalt not covet? Hardly. Hardly. But for time's sake, we must move along. Verses 20 and 21. The young man saith unto him, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Another question by this earnest young man. What lack I yet? May I say, nowhere in the Bible are we taught that a sinner is saved by selling his goods and giving his money away. Whew. Aren't you glad for that? Have you suddenly said, oh, I can breathe again? Nicodemus was not told to sell all. Who came to Jesus at night, we find in John 3. Zacchaeus was not told to sell all. Though he was willing to give a large portion, he was not told to sell out. How about the woman that came and anointed Jesus with the oil? She was not told to, wait a minute, go and sell the ointment and give the money to the poor. No, she wasn't told to do that. Neither was John or James or Peter or Andrew told to sell their fishing boat and equipment to be saved. Yet Jesus knew that this man was covetous. He loved his material wealth. Folks, we are so blessed in America today. We have so much. I wasn't driving. Pastor Stephen was driving yesterday, and I noticed that someone was already having a garage sale. Now, I don't know if you went to that garage sale. I didn't. But isn't it amazing? We have garage sales because we're selling what we don't want anymore. We have so much. We have the rise of storage units. We don't want to get rid of it, but we don't have room for it in our houses. And yet how many people today can't even park their cars in their garages because they have so much? Oh, we live in a land that has been blessed beyond measure. By asking him to sell his goods, Jesus was forcing him to examine his own heart and determine his priorities. How is your priority today? What's important to you? It is said of the rich young ruler, with all the commendable qualities, the young man still did not truly love God with all his heart. But do not be too hard on him. How many of us in this room are bothered by this story? Because it hits too close to home. It doesn't take a genius to note that possessions were this man's God. Do you think possessions can become our God? Be careful. Our blessings could become a curse if we put them before the Lord. He was unable to obey the command to go and sell and come and follow. But then in verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This story is recorded in three of the gospel narratives. Mark 10:22 says, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. In Luke chapter 18, verse 23, it says, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Let me read to you once again a thought from Warren Wiersbe. We can be sure that apart from Christ, even the material possessions of life give no lasting joy or pleasure. It is good to have the things money can buy, provided we do not lose the things that money cannot buy. Unless this rich ruler eventually turned to Christ, he died without salvation and was one of the richest men in the cemetery. Because if one out of one, what? Dies. Let's begin reading at verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Who then can be saved? The eye of a needle refers to a gate in a city wall that was made just for pedestrians. And yet, if a man did not want to go around to the main gate and he had a camel that was loaded with his products, he would make the camel get on his knees and crawl through the gate. That wouldn't be easy, would it? So Jesus is saying that it's easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. The Jewish people of that day believed that riches were an evidence of God's blessings. They based this on the promises God gave the Jewish nation at the beginning of their history. It is true that God did promise material blessings if they obeyed and material loss if they disobeyed, finding this in Deuteronomy chapters 26 through 28. This is the same way we often teach children today. Do good and be rewarded. Do bad and lose those privileges and treats. However, the highest kind of obedience is not based on a desire for reward or the fear of punishment. It is motivated by love. Do you love the Lord today? Do you desire to serve Him? I wish that more of our people desired to serve the Lord faithfully. Jesus repeatedly taught and showed his audiences that the inner spiritual blessings are far more important than the material gains. And even though the disciples' question reflects their theology, if a rich man cannot be saved, what hope is there for the rest of us? May I quote what a man has said, it is good to possess things or possess wealth if wealth does not possess us. But we can have a priceless gift. What is that priceless gift? It's our salvation through Jesus Christ. It's when we realize that I'm a lost sinner, that there is nothing I can do to get into heaven, and that Jesus has his arms open saying, come unto me. And we can be saved through our faith in Jesus Christ. I hope you've accepted that gift. For the love of money is the root of all evil. But thou should flee those things and follow after righteousness, fighting the good fight of faith. Shall we stand together? Yes, we may have the finest of cars, the finest of recreational equipment. We may be able to eat at the finest of restaurants. But do we have Jesus Christ as our Savior? Have we gotten that priceless gift that is offered? You can come this morning and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've never been baptized by immersion, we'd be willing to do that. Or if you'd like to come and join our church, make sure you let us know as we have the invitation time. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that you would bless this time of invitation. May the Spirit move. May hearts be right. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.